Wonder if I were to ask you to name some famous double acts, I wonder who would immediately come to your mind. I was thinking of Tom and Jerry, Laurel and Hardy, Romeo and Juliet, Bonnie and Clyde, Simon and Garfunkel, or more locally, Bob and Bert's. One that I'm going to think with you about today is Aquila and Priscilla in the reading that Sandra read for us earlier in Acts chapter 18. Two of the companions of the Apostle Paul, they are first found here in the city of Corinth in Greece in Acts chapter 18. They're a married couple. And there's any number of times they turn up in the Bible. They turn up in Acts, in Romans, in 1 Corinthians, 2 Timothy, and there may be a passing reference to them also in 2 Corinthians. I say there's any number of times they're mentioned. They're mentioned actually 10 times in Scripture. Always together as a married couple, never separately, which said a lot about their marriage and the harmony of their marriage. They were a real team serving the Lord together. Interestingly, out of those 10 times that they're mentioned in Scripture, it's the woman, Priscilla, who is mentioned first. That was unusual in Bible times. Maybe she had a more dominant personality. Maybe she was a stronger Christian. Maybe she was the business head in this business that they ran together. Maybe she came from a higher social class. Certainly when Paul refers to her in Romans 16, he gives her the formal name Prisca, which was a sign that she would have been a Roman citizen. But she's now married to this Jew from Pontus, which is modern-day Turkey, this man called Aquila. And I want to think about them this morning. I want to look at this passage in a different way than we look at passages normally. And I want to track with you where they turn up in Scripture and the lessons that we can find from them. And I want essentially to say three things about Aquila and Priscilla today. Because in Romans 16 it says, all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful for them. They're grateful for them. And I want to give you three reasons why they were grateful for them. First of all, because they provided hospitality. Verses 1 to 3 here. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Anti-Semitism is very much on the news in our day and age, being against the Jews. Here is anti-Semitism in Bible times by the emperor Claudius against the Jews. He ordered them all. It's a purge of the Jews from the city of Rome. The reason why this happened, we're told by a Roman writer, not a Christian man, but a Roman writer called Suetonius. He said there was rioting in the city of Rome on account of Crestus, which most people take as a reference to Christ. Seems that people in the city of Rome had been preaching Christ. The Jews didn't like the preaching of Christ. They had rioted against these preachers. And no doubt the emperor had tried to settle things down, but because he had failed, he therefore expelled all the Jews out of the city. And so Aquila and Priscilla have to leave their home city, and they wash up in the city of Corinth, in the land now of Greece. How they reacted to this expulsion from the city, I don't know. I mean, imagine if you were just expelled from your home country and told to leave and go anywhere as long as you didn't stay. It seems that they probably had faith in Christ when they were in Rome. Paul never calls them his children in the faith or his converts. It seems they had found Christ in the city of Rome. And yet far from their faith in Christ bringing them wealth and health and prosperity, they had to go and leave Rome and live in a new city and a new country with a new culture, no doubt, a new language, new clientele. They lost all their former customers. Reminds me a bit about that verse in Job where it says, man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upwards. But instead of grumbling or feeling sorry for themselves or being angry, I don't know if they had those emotions or not, or even some of them, but they opened their home to the Apostle Paul here in the city of Corinth. Paul had arrived there as a missionary to preach Christ. We're told in verse 4, every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. Remember, there were no church buildings, Christian church buildings in those times. Seems that many of those who knew Jesus still went to the synagogues. And Paul, when he arrived, he's preaching Christ in the synagogues. And no doubt he got talking to Aquila and Priscilla. They approached him after the service one day, and they said to him, "You're a tent maker." "Well, we're tent makers as well." Jewish rabbis often had a trade to pay their way. And they got talking, and they said to Paul, "Oh, you must come and stay with us in our house." They weren't long in the house, perhaps. They had just arrived. It was maybe still full of boxes. "But Paul, you must come and stay with us." And I love their openness, that they showed to Paul, the hospitality, opening their hearts and opening their homes to this preacher. They could have grumbled. They could have felt sorry for themselves. They could have felt angry, but no. They're anxious to serve the kingdom of God. They're anxious to be open to what they could do, even in small ways, to further the work in this city of Corinth. Reminded me of that verse in Romans chapter 8, "All things work together for good for those who love God." And even expulsion from Rome had now led to them in a foreign city to be providing hospitality to this preacher, Paul. I wonder for you and for me in these times of COVID-19, could we also see that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, and God is at work in ways that we maybe can't even know about. Tonight we're thinking about David and Goliath and how David first encountered the man Goliath, how his father just said to him one day, "Your three brothers are in the army. Here's some cheese and here's some bread. Take it up and supply their needs." And David went, and that was where he encountered Goliath. And you know the rest of the story. We're thinking about that tonight. But just the ordinariness of a father sending a son with bread and cheese. But God was in that to bring about victory over Goliath. And certainly Aquila and Priscilla, they're not just welcoming Paul. Later on, when Paul writes to Corinth, he writes about the church that meets at their house. And in Romans chapter 16, when they're all back in Rome again, he writes to that church and he says, Greet also the church that meets at their home. Remember, no Christian church buildings. The early Christians met in homes. Well, Aquila and Priscilla had the church in their home in Corinth and also in Rome, maybe other places as well, maybe Ephesus too. They were not just hospitable to the big name preachers. They were hospitable to anybody who came along to their homes. Let me tell you about another couple like that. They're both dead now, but they were influential in my early days going on the Christian road, Fred and Betty. They were just ordinary people. Aquila and Priscilla are just ordinary people too. They're tent makers, needle and thread, sewing leather, sewing canvas to make tents. Fred was a hospital store man. Can't remember what Betty worked at. They lived off the Lisburn Road in Belfast. Belonged to Great Victoria Street Presbyterian Church. But their home was a magnet for young Christians, young nurses in particular, gathered in their home on a Sunday night after church for times of fellowship, for times of prayer. I worked not that far away from their home, and they would have invited me over at lunchtimes. And they used their home. They used their home for building up the church and for building up young Christians. Older couple, never had any children of their own. But they used their home for the good of the kingdom of God. That's the spirit of Aquila and Priscilla, providing hospitality, doing what they could. And I tell you, many Christians today thank God for the lives of Fred and Betty and for Aquila and Priscilla. Secondly, they didn't just provide hospitality, they helped strugglers. And that's the passage about Apollos in verse 24 of Acts chapter 18, a native of Alexandria. He came to Ephesus And he's a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the Scriptures. He's been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he speaks with great fervor and teaches about Jesus accurately, but he only knows the baptism of John. Apollos had got repentance from sin. Apollos had got that people were living, breaking the law of God. He knew what it was, that the Ten Commandments were being breached. He knew about the need for humility, for forgiveness, for repentance. He was really good on these things, but he hadn't yet got faith in Christ. He was a bit like a bird, if you like, flying on one wing, trying to fly on one wing. Here he is, a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the Scriptures, instructed in the way of the Lord and speaking with great fervor. But he only knew the baptism of John. And Aquila and Priscilla, what did they do when they heard this young man preach? Well, they didn't write him off and say, "You see, your man, he only knows half the story. He doesn't know the full story." They didn't slate him. They didn't laugh at him. They didn't have roast preacher for dinner. But they perceived that God was at work in this young man's life. And they wanted to fan into flame the gift of God rather than put out the flame that he had, the little flicker that he had. And I'm guessing as they listened to that young man preaching, they said to themselves, "What a preacher. Think how God could use this man." And look at verse 26. They invited him to their home and they explained to him the way of God more adequately or more accurately. Could I ask you, is there some young Christian you could encourage? Is there some young Christian you could help to be more balanced, to be more rounded, to be more biblical, to be more reformed? And you younger people, maybe listening to me as well today, are you teachable? Because Apollos was teachable, because Apollos ends up as one of Paul's companions also, and we could do a whole series, a whole sermon on Apollos as well. Maybe I will do that. He's mentioned 10 times in Scripture as well. Remember, Paul said to the Corinthians, "I have planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." And Martin Luther went as far as to say the letter to the Hebrews, you probably know, is a very Jewish letter explaining why Judaism has been fulfilled and there's no need for sacrifices and temples and any more. Some people guess maybe Paul wrote that letter, but apparently the grammar in the Greek doesn't match Paul's usual way of writing. So Luther said it was Apollos who wrote that letter. Only a learned, eloquent Jew could have written a letter like that. Could you encourage some young Christian who's a struggler? And you young Christian, maybe you're struggling in your faith. Are you open to older Christians coming along beside you? I mentioned Fred and Betty. When Fred died, Betty phoned me up and she said to me, "Come down to the house and take any of his books you want." And there she was in her grief, encouraging me. And I went down, and Fred didn't have many books, but what he did have was worth having. I've got one of them with me this morning in the pulpit. Spiritual Depression, Its Causes and Cure by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, medical doctor who became a preacher in the 20th century. But inside it, it's inscribed to Freddie from Betty, Christmas 1965. That was his Christmas present in the year I was born. I wonder what books you're giving your husband, your wife, if you're married today. What books are you passing on to the young people in your house? Or what books are you trying to encourage others to be listening to or reading? You see, this couple, Aquila and Priscilla, they're going out of their way to encourage strugglers. We can be really good at criticizing strugglers, really good at picking holes in them. Far better to be encouragers. That was Aquila and Priscilla. The last thing about them is that they took risks for the Lord. Now, why did I say that? Well, in Romans chapter 16, Paul writes to the church in Rome Aquila and Priscilla are obviously back in Rome, and he says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus." He doesn't mean fellow workers in terms of tent making. Paul was a tent maker. They were tent makers. Yes, they all made tents, but he doesn't mean that. What he means is that they were fellow workers in Christ Jesus in gospel work. I'm guessing if you went to buy a tent from Aquila and Priscilla, you got much more than a tent. At least you got an invitation to church. At most, you got the gospel about the Lord Jesus Christ, how he had died for sins on the cross to make us right with God. And through believing on him, our sins are forgiven and we find right relationship with God. Tent making for Aquila and Priscilla paid the bills, but they were really evangelists for the kingdom. And Paul says in the Romans chapter 16, he says in the NIV, they risked their lives for me. But in the King James Version, it says, they have for my life laid down their own necks. In Bible times, if you were a Roman citizen and you committed a capital crime, death was administered by getting your head chopped off on the chopping block. You laid down your neck literally to have your head chopped off. So when Paul writes to Aquila and Priscilla, they have laid down their own necks for me. They hadn't actually died, but they had been prepared to die is what he means. If it had come to that, for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of the kingdom of God. They took risks for the Lord. I don't know, maybe they provided a bed for the night in the city of Ephesus when it was an uproar against them. You can read that in the next chapter here in chapter 19 of Acts. But here was a couple who didn't just put their reputation on the line. They took risks for the Lord. They did whatever it took to keep the apostles safe and to keep the gospel flowing across Europe and make sure that this man was kept alive as much as possible, because he was the one that the Lord had called to preach his word. We're not all preachers. Let me finish with one last story about Fred and Betty. I've been thinking about them this week. After Fred and Betty died, after Fred died, Betty ended her days in a nursing home on Finnegy Road South in Belfast. All their lives, they'd had no TV on a Sunday. They kept the Lord's Day special. TV was not on a Sunday. And it distressed Betty that in the nursing home, they kept the TV on a Sunday. And when people went to visit her, she asked for the TV to be turned off. Now, it was hardly a chopping your head off type offense. But nevertheless, there she was at the end of her life, the end of her days, taking a wee stand for the Lord, asking the staff to turn off the TV, because Sunday is Sunday. Sunday is the Lord's Day. It's special. You see, taking risks for the Lord, it can be big things. It can also be small things. The point is to take risks. We're going to think about that tonight with David. Young man who went up against Goliath. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Some of us are called to take the big stands like that. Kind of Martin Luther figures. But we're all called to take our stand in smaller ways, day by day, like Betty in the nursing home in Finnegy Road South in Belfast. Just as Aquila and Priscilla took their stand for Paul in Ephesus, in Corinth, and also in Rome. I've called today's sermon a famous Christian double act. Aquila and Priscilla. Wonder, could you be like them? Could you follow their example in providing hospitality and helping strugglers and taking risks for the Lord? This is kingdom work. It doesn't always have to be big things. The small things count with God. Even giving a cup of water, Jesus said, in my name counts. So let's do those small things. Let's be open to opportunities that God gives us and let our lives count for God. whether we're married or whether we're single, that we would be the people and the servants of the living God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Aquila and Priscilla and for their example in Scripture. We thank you for how important they were to the Apostle Paul and how he mentions them so often, and how, Father, they had such an impact upon him and upon the gospel work in those times. But Father, we're over 2,000 years later, and our prayer is that we would let our lives count for the kingdom of God, that we would not fritter away our time, that we would not simply always be saying to ourselves, oh, we'll do it tomorrow, but that we would do today whatever we can do for you, whatever opportunities or doors you open to us, whatever avenues of service open up. Help us, Father, to do them, to take them, and to use our lives in your service. Father, we thank you for the encouragement of Aquila and Priscilla, and we pray that you'll write these things in all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.